BFM 89.9. This is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. For our next story, we're going to be taking a look at the PD move.
As it's being dubbed.
Exactly. there was a great headline in the Malay Mail yesterday about how Anwar Ibrahim is the leading cause of by-elections next to heart attacks and cancer.
Who wouldn't love to be in such great company? Okay, it's actually quite a marvelous headline. Mean but factual.
Mean but factual indeed. So if you've missed it, the news broke earlier this week that Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim will be standing for the Port Dickson seat after the current PKR MP made way for him. There was a lot of speculation about this in the weeks leading up to it. A lot of people thought that, you know, maybe Lembah Pantai, maybe Nurul Izzah, maybe Wan Azizah, who is going to make way for the great leader?
PD, it turns out.
PD, apparently.
And there's been pretty strong responses, I think, on both sides.
Yes.
There are, of course, people who've come out in support of this, saying that they're pleased, it's overdue, quote-unquote, it's about time. And then you've also got people, and I think I'm including us in that category, who are questioning, I guess, why this... Not why this is happening, we know why it's happening, but the way it's happening, the means by which it's occurring.
Correct. And I think that's what left us a little... worse for wear when this announcement was made, right? Because how much does it actually undermine the democratic process? How much were the people of PD consulted, if at all, with regard to this decision? Because they voted in the previous MP with an overwhelming majority, close to 17,000 votes. And I think all of these things were often not considered, even though the current MP was like, oh, well, you know, I will continue working for the people of Port Dickson.
Just on the ground.
Just
grassroots,
on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, that's not enough. And of course, everyone has come out, as in Wan Azizah and Anwar, have come out in defense of these criticisms. I think Wan Azizah, or DPM's defense, is probably the weakest of the lot. She just said, I don't see what the big deal is.
We were voted in.
Exactly. And I'm like, yes, you were, but he wasn't.
I think we also shouldn't discount the cost of running a by-election.
Correct.
Because that's been something that has been discussed quite a bit also. And in previous moments, they were run out of necessity, as by-elections should be, because they are disruptive, because they're costly. In this case, I mean, sure, depending on which side you land on, you could argue a quote-unquote necessity. I don't view that being the case here. I mean, you had an MP who was ready to serve, who was still able to do so. You therefore do not need a by-election.
There were also two MP by-elections and one add-on election that were triggered anyway by natural causes and for natural reasons. And of course, he could have stood in one of those if, you know, the other parties had made way. That would have been something he could have done. But for me, I guess, it's a communication issue, right? And so to respond to the people who've come out and said, oh, what's the big deal? He was prime minister in waiting. You knew this already when you voted for him. Voted for Pakatan Harapan.
Yes.
I think there's a communication issue. What you want to avoid is, you know, this idea that they are a family of politicians, that they are a dynasty somehow, that there is an entitlement that somehow, because he was in prison and a political prisoner, he is somehow entitled to this. I mean, that really rubs people up the wrong way. Also because it's the same kind of rhetoric that we had from the last guys.
And the communication, as you rightly point out, overall just isn't helpful. You know, today, Dato' Sri Anwar came out to say, well, Dr. Mahathir says it's fine, so I don't understand why everybody else is making a fuss. But that's not the point, right? That kind of referral to a higher boss saying it's okay, therefore why are you smaller people fussing about it? That may not have been what he meant, but it's certainly how, well, I'm receiving it. Mm. And it doesn't make me happy to hear. It doesn't make me feel confident hearing that.
I think Anwar would have done well to kind of has stuck to his original story. I'm going to take a break, you know, I'm going to spend time with the family. Speaking engagements in foreign universities and all of that stuff, to kind of prove to the fact that he had grown out of that impatience that a lot of people had accused him of in the past, right? And they were wondering how much he had changed.
I just think some acknowledgement of the criticism would be helpful. I don't think you necessarily have to fully take it on board, but just acknowledging that it exists and acknowledging that there perhaps is some validity to it would have gone a long way towards smoothing this over. It would look better just to have that acknowledgement, which I don't feel has really been present.
No, you're right. Now, for further analysis on the story, we have on the line with us Jahaba Sadiq, editor and founder of the Malaysian Insight. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Jahaba. What is your take on the PD move?
It's inevitable that Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim has to find a way back to Parliament, and otherwise he can't become the Prime Minister. So no matter how we look at it, he has to find a parliamentary seat sooner than later. And so he found one in Port Dickson.
And we've been talking a bit about how it's been a polarising move, some firmly in favour, others coming out strongly against. Could you take us through some of the arguments you've heard that are in favour?
I think the main argument in favour of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim coming back to Parliament through this by-election, be it Port Dickson, Pandan or Pematang Pau, is that he is owed his place in Parliament. You know, this will be the third by-election that is being forced for him. He's owed that seat in Parliament, and that's the only way for him to become Prime Minister. He's owed that seat in Parliament because he has suffered for 20 years when he was sacked in 1998. He's owed that seat in Parliament because there's an agreement made by Pakatan Harapan that he would be the next Prime Minister after Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. So that's all the arguments in favour of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim becoming the candidate for Port Dickson by-election, and therefore after that becoming the presumptive Prime Minister.
So it sounds like the people on this side of the fence believe that this is the next obvious logical step for Anwar.
Well, I think it is the logical next step for him, because this was the narrative that was put out all this while by a fair number of people who were not happy with Dr. Mahathir Mohamad helming Pakatan Harapan in the run-up to the May 9th elections. That the narrative was that a vote for Pakatan Harapan under Dr. Mahathir was actually a vote for Anwar Ibrahim as Prime Minister eventually. You know, that is the narrative that a lot of people put out. And the reality of the matter is, for a lot of people who voted for Pakatan Harapan on May 9th, voted because they didn't want Dato' Sri Najib Razak to continue as Prime Minister or Barisan Nasional to continue as government. I think that's the one reality that people tend to forget. Because of that, we had to accept that to replace Dato' Sri Najib Razak or Barisan Nasional, we had to accept that the Prime Minister would be Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and whatever motley crew that Pakatan Harapan is. That's the other reality that is today. Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is not the interim Prime Minister, as a lot of people put out. He is the Prime Minister. He will decide when he wants to step down. Will it be 2 years? That's what he has agreed. Could it be more than 2 years? Possibly. But part of that is also, yes, Anwar Ibrahim would have been released, would have been forgiven, will get back to Parliament, will become an MP, and will become Prime Minister. So it's all part of a very long, convoluted story. But I guess, you know, on May 9th, the main reason people voted was to get rid of a government rather than anything else. They weren't thinking too far in the future, were they?
Okay, so what are those against the move saying?
I think the main argument is, why Port Dickson, you know, why not Pandan, where his wife, the DPM, Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah, is the MP? Why not Pematang Pau, where he was always the MP since 1982, and now that's held by his daughter, Nurul Izzah Anwar? So I think there's this argument that it is a form of cronyism, that there's too many people from one family who will be MPs in Parliament, that he is basically breaking parliamentary democracy ethics by forcing a by-election in a seat, you know, just for the chance of becoming an MP again.
So, Jahaba, how did this political maneuver become such a PR failure?
Well, it's a PR failure because nobody ever prepared the people who supported Pakatan Harapan that this would happen so soon. The presumption was that Dr. Mahathir would be Prime Minister for 2 years. And at some point, before the 2 years is up, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim will contest a seat for a Parliament seat. Nobody thought it will happen so soon, within 4 months of the new government coming to power. And Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim himself has said that he was in no hurry. He would take a year to travel the world, explain Malaysia, meet old friends and, you know, basically be an ambassador at large of sorts for Pakatan Harapan and let Dr. Mahathir do what he has to do for the next 2 years. So I guess it's the expectations that was built up by Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim himself, his party, that, you know, he'll take his time, he'll bide his time. There was no urgency to be an MP and or Prime Minister so soon. Yeah, so the public relations failure was basically set up by him with the expectations that he had set out, and he has not managed to manage those expectations at this point in time.
Jahaba, would this action have been viewed differently if a family member, for example, Wan Azizah or Nurul Izzah, had stepped down instead?
No, I don't think it would still be the same, because if his wife was to step down, then they say, oh, there goes the possibility of a deputy prime minister who's a woman to serve longer. You know, so it still wouldn't work. And if it was Nurul Izzah who stepped down and said, oh, there goes the opportunity for a young and able lawmaker like Nurul Izzah, who has done so much in the last 20 years, to continue being a lawmaker. So, you know, none of those arguments would actually work. I think it's a fallacy to think that it's all hunky and dory if any one of the family members were to step down rather than any other MP. The reality is, for anyone to step down in favor of Anwar Ibrahim will always divide the people, because it will seem that he's in a hurry to be prime minister, you know, and it's going to be a deja vu moment of what happened 20 years ago.
And what do you think this means for the reputation of those who vacate their seats for Anwar, for Dato' Daniel Balagopal Abdullah of PD and the infamous Lee Chin Chee of the Kajang move?
I think people forget them in history, right? Because, I mean, who remembers who was the guy in Kajang who stepped down, right? Who remember? They remember anyway, it's his family member, right? That's the reality of life. And after a while, after 6 months, we'll just, well, Lord Anwar Ibrahim, the MP, for being a, you know, for being a very efficient and effective lawmaker and move on in life. Right? You know, we never remember the losers. We only remember the winners and maybe some whiners in this sense. I just think that the people and the voters in Port Dickson are ever so grateful that their presumptive MP is also the presumptive Prime Minister, and they will benefit from it, because we live in a very largely feudal society. And we expect and outsource all our hopes and aspirations to our MPs, which is the wrong thing. They have a different job. Their job is to enact laws, to debate laws for the betterment of the entire country, rather than having more facilities because your MP is the Prime Minister.
So some have called for voters to reject Anwar in the upcoming by-election. Would that be the right move?
Well, as I said, you know, earlier, a country likes to outsource everything to somebody else, you know. So now we are asking the voters of Port Dickson to disregard the potential benefit of having an MP who's a prime minister for the rest of the country's benefit, and then get to deny him a seat in parliament because of the method he has used to get back to parliament. I think that's very unfair to the people of Port Dickson. The thing is, look, if he's going to become Prime Minister, he will one way or another. He will become MP in one seat or another. What we Malaysians have to do is to keep holding them to account for everything. The thing which we neglected to do when Barisan Nasional was in power, right? So he will become MP for sure. He will become Prime Minister most likely. And then in 4 years' time or 5 years' time, when they call for elections, then you account him and his government, you know, to task for what they've done. That's the best way, right? Why deny him his chance in parliament now? You know, I personally don't agree what's going on, but I can see why it's going on, right? And yeah, there's no other way, I think, really, for him to come back to parliament. One way or another, no matter which seat he takes, we'll have the same kind of debate. Whether he does it today, whether he does it a year from now, whether he does it 3 days before Dr. Mahathir resigned, it will always be the same thing. It will never change.
Jahaba, I love your pragmatism. That was Jahaba Sadiq, founder and editor of The Malaysian Insight, with his views on the PD move. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.